We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield, welcome to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Eagles, Larry Weir.
Welcome to our second flight report. I'm Larry Weir. This is a podcast concerning Eastern Washington University athletics. Coming up this week, we will get to our regular victim in this podcast. It's going to be Aaron Best. He'll be with us every week through the end of football season. We'll also talk to Athletic Director Lynn Hickey this week, and the new volleyball coach, Leslie Flores-Cloud, will join us. She's only been in town for 3 months. It's been quite a 3 months for her. And this volleyball team is off to a great start with a 7-3 record going into their final preseason tournament down in Texas coming up starting Friday and continuing on Saturday. They'll start Big Sky Conference play at home next week. We'll tell you more about that. A lot of things going on with Eastern Athletics. A pretty good weekend last week as both the volleyball and soccer teams picked up wins against FBS competition. And then the Eagle football team wins a top 20 showdown. The Eagles ranked 5th and 6th in the two major polls last week. They played at number 18 or number 20, Northern Arizona, depending on which poll you were looking at. And let's get to our game recap from last Saturday's game. The Eagles had won 5 out of the last 6 from the walk-up Sky Dome in Flagstaff, and it started well for Eastern on Saturday as on the first play from scrimmage, Northern Arizona had the ball. Their center snapped the ball before quarterback Case Cookus was ready. And by the time everything ended, NAU had it at their own 1 instead of their own 25. They were facing a 2nd and 34, couldn't get a first down. They punt it to Eastern Washington. Eagles start a 4-play, 53-yard drive. A big pass play to Andrew Boston down to the 5-yard line, set up a 4-yard passing touchdown from Gage Gubru to Chase Gilder. Second straight week those two have hooked up. And it was 7-0 very quickly in favor of Eastern Washington just over 3 minutes into the ballgame. Then the defense stepped up for the Eagles.
Again out of the shotgun, Cookus fake to the left side, now throws deep down the left side again, looking for Butler, jump ball, this may be picked off. It is nice. Intercepted by Eastern Washington's Delondo Tucker on the jump ball down at the 18-yard line.
And that interception led to this play, a big strike touchdown that capped a 5-play, 82-yard drive that took just a minute 10 off the clock.
Gubrud wants to throw, pump fake left side. has time. Deep ball over the middle. Sims is out there. Got it. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Touchdown, Eastern Washington. The big strike. 62 yards.
So less than 5 minutes into the game, the Eagles had a 14-0 lead, and that would be the lead they had at the end of the first quarter of play. Also in the first quarter, Northern Arizona's All-American quarterback Case Cookus was injured on the play, injured a shoulder or a collarbone. He would be out for the rest of the game. So on came their backup, and Daniel Bridge-Gadd led a 7-play, 70-yard drive that was capped by a 10-yard passing touchdown. And early in the second quarter, NAU cut the lead to 14-7. But the Eagles answered back, a 55-second drive, 3 plays, 69 yards, and this play was another long pass play for the Eagles.
Kubrick takes a low snap, blitz coming, wants to go deep down the left side. Simba Webster's out there, he got it, touchdown! Touchdown Eastern Washington, a beautiful throw dropped over the right shoulder of Simba Webster, who catches it, gets 1 foot down inbounds, and crosses just over the pylon for the score.
With just over 5 minutes left in the first half, Northern Arizona got a field goal, and at the half, it was Eastern Washington 21, NAU 10. NAU got a field goal for the first score of the third quarter of play to cut the lead to a one-possession score at 21-13. But the Eagles up that lead to 15.
They fake it to Pierce, throw a quick slant. Webster got it to the 20, spins away. 15,
no!
Down to the 10, breaks a tackle at the 5, driving for the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Eastern Washington. Simba Webster with a spectacular run after the catch.
It ended up that Webster actually fumbled the ball before he got into the end zone. It was recovered by Dre Dorton in the end zone for a touchdown, and so Eastern had that 28-13 lead. NAU answered, though. As they got the ball back, Daniel Bridge-Gadd, a 32-yard passing touchdown to the running back Nate Stinson. Point after was good, and it was a 28-20 ball game. The Eagles, though, had their most time-consuming drive in the game, 12 plays, 57 yards, took 6:10 off the clock with about 6.5 minutes to play in the game. Roldan Alcabendis, a 40-yard field goal. Eastern led by 11, 31-20. Northern Arizona answered, a 13-play, 79-yard drive. With a minute 51 remaining in the ball game, Bridge-Gadd threw it to Joe Logan, the running back, for a 3-yard passing touchdown. They tried for a 2-point conversion but failed, and so the Eagle lead was 5 at 31-26. NAU didn't try an onside kick. They kicked deep. The Eagles weren't expecting it, but they were able to get back there, cover the ball deep in their own end of the field, and NAU still had a couple of timeouts left. But this play right here made the game academic and gave Eastern the victory.
They do give it away. Go. McPherson, 10, 15, 20, in the middle of the field, 25, 30. Get him, Ars, 40, 50, down the middle of the field, being chased at the 40. He's to the 30, breaks the tackle, 25, 20, 10, down to the 5-yard line, dragging tacklers to the end zone, and is finally stopped down at the 3.
The Eagles were able to run out the clock and go on to the 31-26 win over Northern Arizona to improve to 2-0 on the season. Second straight 100-yard rushing game for Sam McPherson, who ran for 161 yards. Second straight 300-plus yard passing game for Gage Gubrud as he threw for 322. Simba Webster, his second consecutive 100-yard receiving game, 7 catches for 176 yards and 2 scores. Eagles win it 31-26, and that's your game recap from the Walk-Up Sky Dome last Saturday in Flagstaff, Arizona. Now let's get to our football coach's interview for this week. Here's head coach Aaron Best on Flight Report.
All right, Coach, great win for you on Saturday against Northern Arizona. You know, a team that was a good team at altitude, and you guys jumped on them early, got out to a 14-0 lead. How big was that?
It was big. We started on defense. They had the errant snap, first play of the game. Got us in a situation to go get them 3 and out. Got great field position early, scored on our first drive, and we got then up, got a couple other scores early. And then we kind of hit a little bit of a lull there on offense. It kind of went back and forth, but that's going to happen when you face good teams, especially on the road. But defense hung in there tough. They played pretty much lights out the entire way. 5 sacks. They got a turnover. Could have had probably 3 or 4 more sacks throughout the course of the game, and tackled well at times and not so well others. But once you step up against great competition, you're going to miss a few tackles at times just based on the competition you're facing. But all in all, at the end of the day, we want to score more than the opponent, no matter what the setting is and what we're dealing with. And I was proud of those guys for having done that on Saturday.
Did the Eagles win the line of scrimmage as far as protecting your quarterback, sacking their quarterback, and you were able to run the ball effectively? They ran the ball okay, but you guys won that battle.
I think so. And how much, it's up to you guys in the media world to determine that. But I think we were happy with our performance, both offensively and defensively, when you talk about the guys with their hand on the ground. The linebackers played it at level one a little bit and were very successful and consistent there. Safeties even crept to the line of scrimmage. So when you talk about, winning the line of scrimmage, it's not just the offensive defensive lines. You're talking about corners at times, blitzing big blitz packages, or on the short sides or nub sides of certain formations where they're going to have to play and fit in the run game. So I think all in all, we are very happy with our performance. It can always be better. It's never as good or never as bad as you anticipate it to be in live reps as opposed to when you get a review of the film. But I think all in all, we take that performance any day of the week.
You guys gave them a little wrinkle defensively by going from the 4-2 look to a 3-3 look with three linebackers on the field. Is that something we could see going forward? Not necessarily this Saturday, but in certain other conference games?
Well, I think situations depend on that. I think health depends on that. I think, where you are in the game, plays that, who you're facing quarterback-wise, because we don't obviously want to do that against a run outfit, a run first outfit. Certain situations we'll put guys in that we think are going to be successful. But in this day and age, there's a little margin for error. When you're scouting people, there's so much film, there's so much critiquing. They actually have rewind buttons that go slow rewind or slow fast forward, so you can actually really hunker down on some stuff. And so we'll keep people guessing as much as we can. We want to give the people rights that have earned the right to play on Saturdays. If that means we go from a 4-2-5 to a 3-3-5, whatever that may be, if we've earned it, we think that that's going to be the most production we're going to get in that situation, in that game, then we'll employ it. But outside of that, our base is going to be 4-2-5. But if you do see the changeups, it's for reasons that we thought were best early on in the week.
Winning on the road is never easy. Eastern has had a program that's been able to do that over the years. What are some of the keys for you guys being able to go out on the road and have the success that you've had over the years?
Well, I think you got to have talented players. I think you have to have mature players. When you go on the road, that's a time for bonding. A lot of people look at the road as kind of a nemesis and kind of a speed bump. I look at that as a bonding mechanism for people to enjoy the company of others, their brothers, for 36 hours. Us as coaches, the support staff, the players alike. I mean, we're in a hotel in multiple rooms around the hotel for a better part of 36 hours. I think it's a great time to get to know the person outside of the player. And so we always emphasize as well, adversity, great ones adjust. We're going to fight adversity in the games. Why not battle it outside of the games as well? Just know that you're going to get some curveballs in 3-2 counts with two outs and the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. And if you get something off speed, let's not fret. Sit on your back leg, foul the ball off, see another pitch. But don't say, you can't throw that curveball at me. That's not okay. Those aren't the rules. Well, those things are going to happen. So if we can adjust as coaches and the players see that and we can be an example for the players, then it's a lot easier to master when come game time, when those guys are being asked to do what they're able to do on the field. So I think the road's an amazing place, and championships are one on the road. You hold serve at home. You have to win at home to have yourself a chance in any sport, in any year, at any championship, but then you've got to do work on the road. That's where you truly make your mark when you get on the road and are able to compete and beat great opponents.
2016, Cougars Eastern started their year at WSU and beat the Cougars. Does that make any difference in this game, just as far as you guys knowing that you can go down there and win a game like that?
Well, I mean, does it help you in this game? No, because this game is its own entity. Has it been done before? Yes. I mean, we all know the answer to those questions, much like Oregon State or being close to UW on a few occasions. When you've done it, it gives you the platform to say, we can do it. If you've never done it, now it's all belief. It's all on a belief system. When it has been done by some of the players that were there in 2016, it's not a platform that you have to really pound too hard into them because it's been done. Is it going to be harder this time around? Absolutely. They're all hard. You're talking about game 3, so you're not talking about game 1. you're talking about Gage Gubrud, who is in, seems like, game 33 and not game one. So there's a lot of things that are different now than there was the first week of 2016. They're a very talented outfit on both sides of the ball and their kicking game. I know they have a few new coaches, which is never easy to replace, but we've got to play a great game. We've got to make some breaks. We've got to create some opportunities, and we've got to have a ball or two bounce our way at the end of the day. You know, I'm not going to ask the guys to play perfect. There's no such thing. But if we can get as close to perfect as we can and get a break along the way, I think we got a chance.
All right, so what does it mean for the players to be able to play against a Pac-12 opponent? It's something, as a player, you never got to do at Eastern. So is it a special game?
They're all special, Larry. I do think when you play the two FBS programs in the state of Washington, I think that makes it a little bit more special because they're playing in front of their home state fans with maybe a little bit more of an edge in this situation. Because let's be honest, at some point most of our players heard in some capacity from Washington or Washington State on the recruiting trail. How heavily, that's to be determined by those individuals. But over the course of their time in high school, they heard from them, whether it be mailings, callings, textings, DMings, whatever it is. And so when you're courted by somebody and then you end up going to somebody else, does that promote more motivation? To some it may, but to others it's an opportunity to play against a school that has great talent, has great tradition, that is a home state FBS school, and you get to see how you stack up against one of the two FBS schools in the state of Washington. And if that means you raise your game, I'm all for it. We're not going to prepare any differently. Their field isn't any longer, isn't any wider. Their goalposts still sit in the back of the end zone. And so we're not going into this thing wide-eyed. But we also need to understand that we need to buckle down and play a really good game, a really efficient game, take care of the football, reduce the penalties, and play as fearless as we can.
Washington State's usually known for their offense and the air raid with Mike Leach, but this year's defensive team that they've got is a pretty good team.
Absolutely. You know, in your first two games, you hit on the head. They're top five, I think, in the country yards per game given up. I know it's only two games in. Their run defense is below 90 yards a game to this point against a run-first outfit in Wyoming. And granted, they're breaking in a new quarterback. Wyoming was in that game along with Washington State. It's impressive. The team speed sideline to sideline is impressive. It's something that we're going to have to try to take advantage of and not out-scheme things and make things too difficult and put square pegs and round holes. But we're going to have to play efficient. We're going to have to play intelligent, and we're going to have to play as physical as we can because without question, that defense is flying around thus far in two games, and we only have the sample size of two games, one on the road and one at home. So we've seen them in both venues, and we're going to their place in game three. So any good team gets better as the season wears on. I see that happening in Pullman thus far.
Coach, thanks for the time. Congratulations on a great win. Good luck Saturday.
Thanks, Larry.
The Eagles are on the road at Washington State this week. Their next home game will be Saturday, September 22nd, as the Eagles host Cal Poly on Hall of Fame Day. You can go to GoEags.com, click on the ticket link to get your tickets for this game, and you can also register for the Hall of Fame breakfast that morning. The cost for doing that is just $20. Again, go to GoEags.com. This time, hover over the fan zone, then on the Hall of Fame, and follow the link on the upper right side of the page. It's the 18th induction class to the Eastern Athletics Hall of Fame. Those being inducted into the Hall of Fame include former football players, wide receiver Jeff Ogden and quarterback Rick Warman, as well as basketball player Alvin Snow, volleyball player Kim Maxwell, and track and field standout Kurt Kramer. Two of the teams Maxwell played on, the 1998-1999 NCAA tournament teams, coached by Pamela Parks, will be inducted. In addition, longtime college administrator and Eastern grad Richard Hannon will be honored as recipient of the Eastern Athletics Hall of Fame Service and Contribution Award. The breakfast starts 8 in the morning on Saturday the 22nd, and we hope to see you at Reese Court for the annual Eastern Washington University Athletics Hall of Fame induction. Now on the Flight Report podcast, we talked to Athletic Director Lynn Hickey once again, and let's start with the football game. on Saturday, because it was a great result with a football game, but you also had a chance, you and the president, to go down to Phoenix and meet a lot of Eagles down there, and that's key for you being new in the job.
Right. We had a really good weekend in that we had a really nice dinner at a private home on Thursday, and then Friday we had a breakfast and a luncheon and continued to meet people. Just everyone's very excited. Everyone's very interested in helping, and it's surprising the number of Eastern grads, alums, that are in the Phoenix area. And so it's a part of the country that I think we're going to work real hard on trying to get them more organized and give them opportunities to get together more often. And then we had a tailgate before the game and had a real good showing of people coming around from the community. The game itself about drove me crazy the last quarter. It was like, oh man. It was a fun weekend. It was very successful both on meeting and greeting more people, but also on how well the team performed on the field.
So I asked you this before, but now I'm going to ask it with a different sport, because you were a basketball coach, and so I think I asked you once how you watch a basketball game, as whether it's a coach or as a fan, but you weren't a football coach. So do you watch a football game like a coach would, or do you watch it like a fan?
I watch it like an athletic director who needs a team to win. So it's a different level of stress. And it was really hard in that the president and her husband and myself and our vice president of advancement, Lisa, we were, you're sitting on the front row and you got all the fans around you. And so, you need me to come. But typically I need to walk around a little bit. There were times when I was at my previous school that I would just have to get out. And we were in a dome. I had to get out in the hallway, and I could hear the roar of the crowd, but sometimes there was just so much going on, I just had to step away. So I tried to be calm. I was never a coach that ranted and raved at officials. I pretty much just stayed. I stood on the sideline the whole time. I never sat on the bench, but I was pretty quiet. So I try to do that, but yeah, there's a little anxiety, a little angst at times. But the team did a difficult place to play. They had a great crowd coming in. They did their freshman rush, which is something we want to institute here. But they had, 5,000 kids rush the field to, be a part of the team coming on the field. So all that is pretty intimidating. But we had some breaks early on, and then we were able to hold on the rest of the game. So very proud of what the team did.
So this week, Washington State, it's a big opportunity for the Eagles playing against an FBS program. And besides the game, there's some other things going on as far as WSU and Helinski's hope that they're obviously Tyler Helinski was a WSU player, committed suicide in January of this year, and Helinski's hope and Eastern are teaming up.
Right. Tyler's mom called us, and they have a foundation where they are helping schools provide training for staff and students on suicide prevention and just how to take care of each other. There's a program that the NCAA has that they're helping fund on campus, and then there's another program called Behind Happy Faces that's really kind of their deal. And so they're very kind, and so they're going to help pay for this. And so we're going to work with those two groups and do things with our student athletes, but also staff, not just in the athletic department, but around campus, so that we all are messaging the same and we all have the kind of the same philosophy on how we're going to handle watching our students and how do you reach out to help, what should be the correct response. I was able to visit with her for about 45 minutes, and it's still heart-rending. I can't imagine as a parent to go through that. And, she said everybody that you talk to talks about what a great kid Tyler was, and that he was actually attending counseling sessions with his roommate once a week because his roommate was going through counseling, and that nobody, they didn't see it. So there's a tremendous amount of concern on campuses across the country, not just with student athletes, but with the students as a whole on mental health issues. And so this is a huge step for us to get this help, because we just don't have the resources to bring in outside groups like that. Our team's going to wear a special sticker on their helmet, and we're going to do another recognition for Tyler before the game. So very proud that they've stepped up to help us, and our thoughts and prayers are still with the family.
All right, so on the field, this is an outstanding opportunity for Eastern to get another FCS win, or FBS win, I should say, and they did it in 2016. You weren't here for that, so it would be a nice welcome to you for you to this area to pick up another one in 2018.
Yes, and I would take all the credit for it. You know? it's really tough when you go into these situations, just the resources they have, and you're on their home field and all that, but our kids, we have what we call Eagle grit, and they really believe. And so they've had that confidence builder that it's happened before. You know, I thought it was very interesting. I just saw some things on Twitter about evidently Coach Leach doesn't remember who Gage is. So though that might be a little fun through the weekend. But it's a great opportunity. It's, you know, in even building the program at UTSA, it was really interesting how our kids, even at a very beginning level, wanted to be on the field against the very best. You know, those players, they want that challenge. Some of the rest of us that are in the background are going, whoa, is this going to be too much? They want to get out there and play. And so this is a great experience for them. They're going to be in an excellent venue. We're going to have an outstanding crowd. We've sold all our tickets. So it'll be a fun evening, no matter how the game ends up.
Last football question. Next week, back at home again, Cal Poly. It's Hall of Fame Day. It's the Big Sky Conference opener. You can get tickets or reserve your spot for the Hall of Fame breakfast. Go to GoEags.com. You can hover over Fan Zone, and then there's a Hall of Fame thing you can click on, and you can get registered for that. Tickets for the game, I believe, are still available Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. But it'll be nice having students back on campus. We'll talk a little bit about that. But it's a chance for people to see the Eagles after two straight weeks on the road.
Right. It's always fun to come home. This is a great place to play. And this is the field that we are working to protect every game this year. So we need people at the games. Everybody needs – we don't need to ever get casual and say, hey, they started off great. We don't need to be there. No, we need everybody in every seat. And so to get the students back in there will be fun. An important game because, you know, we want to work one game at a time, but we really have this goal to win the conference championship this year.
And so get those tickets. Go to GoEags.com. Come to the breakfast. It's always a great Hall of Fame breakfast to get to honor a bunch of Eagle athletes going into the school's Hall of Fame. So that's coming up next Saturday, the 22nd. All right, let's talk about some other sports because volleyball, we'll hear from Leslie Flores-Cloud in just a little bit. You take your hat off to her because 3 months ago she got hired and she had to fill out a team, get a staff, make a schedule, move a family. And yet she's managed to do it all, and they're 7-3, and they play in Texas at Incarnate Word against Alcorn State and Incarnate Word here this weekend.
It's been amazing, and she's done it with an injury-laden team. They've had kids out with concussions. She lost one of her better players with an ACL knee injury this last week, and they just still keep fighting through. So I'm very, very proud of her. And once again, they're getting ready to finish the non-conference, so we're getting ready to step into conference, and that's what it's all about, because that's how you get to the NCAAs, is that you've got to finish strong in the conference. But very proud of them, and we get to see them in action finally on the 18th, this next Tuesday evening, and so we're gonna work to get all our student athletes there to welcome them home and to cheer them on that night.
Yeah, it's going to be great to see them at home. It's just a one-game homestand is all because they go back out on the road for a couple of weeks after that again within conference play. But it's Tuesday night on Reese Court, Eagles against Idaho, who's picked to win the Big Sky Conference coming into the year. So it'll be a tough home test for Eastern, but we hope everybody comes out to the volleyball match on Tuesday. They had a win over an FBS opponent last week in Charlotte. Soccer had a win over an FBS opponent last week, too, in Colorado State, and they have one more road match coming up at Utah State, another FBS opponent on Friday, and then come home on Sunday of this coming weekend against South Dakota State.
Right, and so just like volleyball, they're ending their non-conference play, so they're getting ready to step into conference play, and they seem to really start having everything put together. You know, they've been touted from the very beginning to be the strongest team in the conference, but they're very, very young. But this last weekend, it looked like everything kind of came into place. You know, a double overtime loss at Denver. Denver's got a great program. They're on the road, so I think that's a great indication that the team is really getting prepared to go into conference play.
Golf. Women's golf did something that they haven't done in a long time, and that's win a tournament. I saw Coach Howe in the hallway earlier today, and she says, you know, with golf, it's so hard because you have to beat 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 or 15 teams or however many are entered in the tournament. It's just not a team-on-team competition. And they did that in Anaconda, Montana, earlier this week as they picked up the win. And Alexa Clark has picked up some honors as well for that win.
Yeah, Alexa won the tournament, and she won individual honors. But for the team to win that first tournament, they'd really only had one practice. You know, they came in last week, they had a practice, and then they hit the road. And I think what Brenda was most proud of is the second day they didn't start off real well, and then they had to go into another round against North Dakota State to win it. And she said they just really pulled together and kept their focus and pulled off the win. So that's huge. They're in Coeur d'Alene this weekend. I guess they have a practice round on Sunday, but on Monday. It's a smaller tournament, but it's their tournament that they're hosting, and so it'll be fun to see if they can keep that focus and keep those wins going.
Absolutely. And then cross country resumes their season again coming up on Friday. They run down in Colfax.
Yes. And they're just really, you know, cross country, you try to build on your times each meet. So they had a good start. They finished in the top five. Our new coach, Sam, he said that, they did a good job of running well as a unit. And so this weekend is when you start trying to get those times a little bit better. So from now on, every meet you go, you're going to try to step it up a little bit. But he's real excited about how the kids are performing right now.
Anything you want to hit on that we didn't touch on today?
No, we just need for everybody to understand how much we need them to be a part of the program. And to never think that, well, I can't do that much. If everybody will do what they can, and whether it's buying a game ticket, whether it's contributing to the EAF fund, whether it's helping with a special project, if we all come together and work together to make those things happen, then we can build the things that we need for this program. But there's no gift that's too small. There's no, just being engaged and being here for our events means so much to our kids. And for everybody to remember that these teams are their teams. We're not doing this for the athletic department. We're performing for the university, for our fans, for our alumni. And so we truly want to build an Eagle family, and that offer is extended out to all our fans too, not just for the people that are here on campus.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lynn. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
The Eagle soccer team plays at Utah State Friday. Then on Sunday, they return home to take on South Dakota State for a 1 o'clock kickoff from the EWU soccer field. Admission is free. The volleyball team is on the road at Incarnate Word. They'll play Alcorn State on Friday, Incarnate Word on Saturday. Then on Tuesday, it's the Big Sky Conference opener and Eastern's home opener as they take on the Big Sky Conference preseason favorite, Idaho. First serves at 6 o'clock on Reese Court. Admission is free. The first 100 students will receive free pizza. And both the home volleyball game against Idaho and the Sunday soccer match against South Dakota State will be streamed live on Pluto TV. Saturday, September 22nd, it's the Eagle football game against Cal Poly. It's Hall of Fame Day and Cancer Awareness Day. The first 3,000 fans through the gates will receive a foam fingers, courtesy of Community Cancer Fund. And the first 4,000 fans will receive a commemorative cheer card where fans will be asked to stand in recognition of supporting loved ones who have been affected by cancer. Kickoff, 1 o'clock, Saturday the 22nd, as the Eagles start Big Sky Conference play against Cal Poly on the Inferno at Roos Field. For ticket information, go online to goeagles.com.
We continue on the Flight Report podcast this week with volleyball coach Leslie Flores-Cloud, who was hired in mid-June. So here we are in mid-September. Has it felt like a whirlwind for you?
Oh, a whirlwind. I'm still in a tailspin right now. Definitely.
You were hired in mid-June, as I said. At the time, you didn't have a complete schedule. You didn't have an assistant coach. I think there were only 5 returning players. Now,
yes,
there were some freshmen and some transfers and whatnot, but you still had to rope those people in. So you've had a full plate.
Oh, yes, definitely. We had one assistant coach that I hired that I feel awesome and I'm really amazing with, Kelly Bonja. She played for me, and she's such an asset to this program. We were able to get 3 more transfers to come in, totaling 4 transfers, and then we were able to keep all 6 freshmen. So,
and then you also had to move from Iowa, so your husband had to pack everything up, I'm sure. And in fact, when you got the job, I don't even think you were on vacation, right?
Yeah, I accepted the job from Costa Rica. I was with another program, and I got the call from Lynn, and I couldn't believe it. But Eastern Washington has always been one of those schools that's been on my list. If it opens, I'm going for it. My husband, again, being from his college times here in Spokane, it just is a great place, so, yeah.
All right, so, you know, on top of everything, then in the first 3 tournaments of the year, you go 7-3. So with all the newness and the players getting to know you and you getting to know the players and the players getting to know the assistants and whatnot, I mean, what's it been like?
Oh, a whirlwind. I think you're spot on. I haven't caught my breath. I think it was week 1 we won the tournament. I mean, besides pushing hard work and, you know, effort and attitude I talk a lot about, that's what won us that tournament. It was like a whirlwind of emotions of just the girls really buying into what I'm doing and just their love for each other. They're a great group of women.
So 3-0 in that first tournament, then 2-2 at North Dakota, 2-1 last week in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been jetting all over the country, yeah. California to North Dakota to North Carolina, and now you're headed to Texas this weekend.
Yes, heading to Texas.
Talk about that tournament and the competition you're going to be facing there.
Yeah, so we're heading up with Alcorn and then finishing off with Incarnate Ward, both really physical teams. So on film, they're going to be a taller team than our team, really physical kids. And so we're looking to clean up our side efficiency-wise. We've got to be really great in serving and passing. And then in volleyball, the team with the least amount of errors is always going to win. And so we have to be efficient in that way.
You know, 7-3 so far on the season. With the tournaments, you are playing mostly neutral site games, but you're playing 3 or, you know, maybe even, well, I guess 3 teams is what you played in each of the tournaments so far. So do you do a lot of scouting of these teams, or is it just roll out the ball and play volleyball?
Oh, my gosh, so much scouting goes into it. So I've watched at least 3 matches on each of these teams so far. The kids are assigned to look at themselves because we have to break down our film before we even start talking about another team. So a lot of practice the last few days has been breaking down ourselves. What technically are we needing to work on? What execution plays do we need more time with? And then you start bringing in what we're going to face. Okay, we're going to be facing a bigger block this weekend. What do we need to work on? Covering. We're going to be facing a little bit more physical of a swing than we have been. So we want to make sure defensively we're going to the right places. And the girls have... you know, with online stuff, it's just amazing where, you know, game breakdown has gone. So the girls all have access to all these matches. We have access. We're able to talk to each other through the network. So, yeah, a lot of video stuff has gone into it.
All right. So what's been the key for you so far this year? Why are you guys 7-3?
Oh, that's a great question. If I had to pin it on one thing, I would just say effort. The girls are relentless in letting balls drop, and we're kind of one of those teams that you play where a big physical team can come against you, but balls just don't drop. So they just get increasingly more angry that balls aren't dropping and make an error. And I would say on our side, we talk a lot about serving and passing, and 89% of the time, the team that is serving and passing better will win the game, and that's been the case in every single one of our matches so far. The 7 wins, we've been the better serving and passing team.
All right, so Big Sky Conference play starts. You get home from Texas probably on Sunday, and it starts on Tuesday of next week, and all you get is the preseason favorite in the Big Sky and the University of Idaho. So, yeah. And then you go back out on the road for a couple more weeks.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, we have Idaho at home on Tuesday, which we're really excited about. We're really excited to get, you know, in Reese Court because we haven't had that opportunity yet. Idaho is really tall team. They're very physical. They play a lot like a men's game. Obviously, you can tell I've already started looking at them. It'll be a fun match. We'll be a little outsized, but you can't disqualify us. Our effort is just, these girls are willing to run through walls for me and the staff, and you can't beat that effort sometimes.
So, you know, the Big Sky is going to be competitive, obviously, and it may have gotten a little bit more competitive last week because the football team was in Flagstaff and happened to be there when Northern Arizona beat 8th-ranked Florida.
Yes.
So it looks like it's the conference just ramped up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm a true believer of anybody can beat anyone, especially in this game of volleyball where you take 1-2 points off and it could be the difference. And, you know, the teams that are supposed to win sometimes don't put so much pressure on themselves that they self-implode, which I think is kind of what happened to Florida this weekend. And Northern Arizona was able to be there and capture that, and I'm so happy for them and their win, and it helps our conference so much. But, yeah, we have to go out and prepare what we're going to do, our execution, and what we do on our side. And if we can help our team by knowing what the other side does really well and being able to take that away, then I think we'll put ourselves in a really good position.
So 3 months ago, you get the job. You're off in Costa Rica when you get the job. You get back. You're in Iowa. You're trying to move to Spokane or Cheney. Then you're recruiting, you're traveling, you've started practice. How much time have you actually spent here in this area?
None, it seems like. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Actually, Labor Day, our stuff from Iowa finally arrived. So I've officially had a bed for about a week. So it's been a whirlwind. I can't thank my husband enough and his family. They've been over here from Oregon just helping us move in and get settled, and it's been so nice. The people in the community have congratulated me on the wins and starting to turn around this program. I feel so blessed to be in this community.
We've got Hall of Fame weekend next weekend. Unfortunately, you all are in Greeley, Colorado.
Yes.
For Northern Colorado in conference play. But there's a volleyball team, the 88-89 team is going to, or the 98-99 teams are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And it's too bad you can't be there and kind of connect with that history, because I'm sure it's something you'd like to do as time goes forward here.
Oh, absolutely. I was able to get into Spokane before Pam Park's retirement party, and I was able to meet so many alumni, and they have so many great ideas, and they have such a great community. I can't wait to get my hands on a few of them and really start the community, the volleyball community of alumni. I'm really sad I can't be here, but I just want all the alumni to know we're thinking about you guys, and we know you're cheering us on, and we will get our alumni game back. And I can use all the help I can get right now. So if anybody wants to leave their number and help us with that database, we'd love to have help.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a great start. 7-3 is unbelievable with everything that you've had to go through in the first 3 months of your time here. And best of luck this weekend in Texas and the start of Big Sky play next week. We'll look forward to seeing you on Tuesday at Reese Court.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You can listen to the Flight Report in many different ways. You can go to GoEags.com, click on Fan Zone, then on Flight Report with Larry Weir, and listen from there. If you're a regular podcast consumer, you can subscribe or just listen through most of the major podcast sites like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. We'll be back next week with another edition of Flight Report, and thanks to volleyball coach Leslie Flores-Cloud, director of athletics Lynn Hickey, and football coach Aaron Best. Don't forget, the Eagles take on Washington State Saturday. Our pregame will start at 4 with kickoff just after 5 on the Eagle Radio Network from Learfield. Thanks for listening to the Flight Report. I'm Larry Weir.
You've been listening to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics, spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.